Hello and welcome in to an abundance of not. It is October 15th. Once again, a Wednesday, Wade's Friday. And of course, Brad and Wade are here with me.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
What's going on, guys?
Staying busy.
Yeah, what's not really for you, Wade?
Well, we did have our a family member come down.
True.
That was out of the norm.
True. Our cousin was down in Irvine for a programming refresher class. He flew in Sunday and is flying back home today, Wednesday. So he and I hung out Monday, and then we all, as the family down here, went out to dinner last night. That was fantastic.
Cool.
Yep. Always nice.
Sounds
to have
like a wonderful
around.
Time.
Say that again, Brad.
I said it sounds like a wonderful time. It's nice to catch up with family.
It is. We sadly don't see enough of ours, so when they're in town, we try to make sure we put in an effort to see who we can see.
I definitely understand that one.
Unfortunately, though, we're sometimes bound by the communication or lack thereof from the other party, so we make do the best we can.
Sure.
I got a little bit of drama to share with you in regards to home buying and all that kind of fun and excitement.
That's a drama? I'm shocked.
Yeah, I mean, you have no experience with this, clearly.
Obviously.
Oozing with sarcasm. Yeah, so we looked at a house last Wednesday, and it was a 4-bedroom, 2.5-bath at a fairly decent price, but still a little bit out of our range. We thought we could negotiate it down, and it could be something we could work on, but have a fair amount of space for longevity purposes. So we put in an offer to that, and while we're waiting for the counter offer from the owner/agent, we drove through the same community on Friday and saw another property for sale, this one being a 3-bedroom, 1.5-bath, for a little bit lower, but probably some room to negotiate. So we looked at that on Saturday, and we got a counter offer on the first house at like $2,000 less than the asking price, and we were looking for, you know, 20.
A little more than that, yeah.
Yeah, a little more than that. So we decided to put an offer on the 3-bedroom also for, you know, low. I mean, it's not super unrealistic, but it's definitely a big pill to swallow if you're the one on the other side of the request. And we put in a last-ditch effort on the 4-bedroom, kind of saying, hey, here's our price if you want to sell. Good to go. If not, you know, that's fine.
Too bad. See you later.
Pretty much. I mean, here's a bird in the hand. Is it really worth two in the bush? I mean, you can try to hold off and maybe you'll get a buyer or maybe you won't. So, you know, you be your own judge on that one. So they ended up not biting on the 4-bedroom. We got a counter offer on the 3-bedroom. So at a little bit off, not very much. So we have another counter, a counter to their counter. And that we processed today. So we'll see how that goes. Hopefully, within the week, we'll have some news. So next week, we might have some news. But try not to count our birds before they or eggs before they hatch. So, good times.
Exciting stuff.
That's right. But not far, closer to the freeway for transportation and for commute purposes. So hopefully it all works out. Additional stuff, trying to think what else I got going on here. And I think that was it. We were thinking about seeing the movies last week. We talked about that.
Dracula. Didn't
so
get to it.
Movies did not get viewed. That being said, we watched The Secret Life of Walter Mitty on Friday night.
That was like, we spoke about that last podcast.
Was it last podcast?
Yeah.
Okay.
We were talking about the longboard Iceland
Yeah,
scene.
That's true. We did talk about that. I did see Rush, the Chris Hemsworth IndyCar movie. Olivia Wilde's in it briefly. That's a really good movie if you're into the racing kind of experience. So, anyway, Brad, your fun
cool.
in the sun?
You know, we had a kind of a quiet weekend. Didn't do a whole lot.
Shenanigans.
Yeah, lots of shenanigans. Okay, so where to start? Let's see. Last week, we talked about the trip to Chicago to see my cousin, family over from the Land of Oz, and our hiking trip. So, hiking done. We spent a couple days at home and then flew down to Las Vegas for an extended weekend. We flew down Friday, came home Monday to attend the Red Bull Air Race.
Woohoo!
Ooh.
Yeah, so for those not familiar, the brief rundown is it is 12 modified stunt planes, aerobatic planes, that fly a very tight race course. They had the entire race course set up within the confines of Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
Oh, okay.
Wow, so, that's tight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Very tight. All
so
in
boys
all,
and girls, think
they
of
do
Disney's planes on a
yes,
smaller scale.
Much, much smaller scale.
But in real
the
life.
Total track length, they do two laps of the track each. Total track length comes out to just over 3 miles.
Oh, wow.
But that's two laps, so the track itself is only a mile and a half long.
Oh, okay. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, that's super tight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, two laps of the track, they complete their run. We had some good wins on qualifying day. There were a couple pilots managed to complete both laps of the track in just under 50 seconds.
Wow.
They come into the starting gates doing 230 miles an hour.
So, are they clocked, like, as a takeoff procedure, or are they already kind of flying around, and then when they start, they fly through the start-stop gate?
They're already in the air.
Okay.
And then they have to be below 230, it's actually 200 knots,
okay,
when they fly through the start gates.
Gotcha.
And then they have pylons that they have to go around at a certain height. There are gates that they have to fly through exactly straight and level at certain heights. And then, you know, the turns in the track, they're pulling tight turns. They're not allowed to exceed 10 Gs, although a few of them got really close, and a couple of them during practice slightly exceeded the 10 G limit.
Okay. So they got pressure sensors in the cockpits or something like that?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, I was about to think, like, how do you measure that? But, yeah, cockpit sensor.
Yep, rate of turn sensors. And pressure sensors. So it's really cool. If anybody else gets a chance, the season's almost done now. They've got one more race in Austria, I believe, but they're said that they are coming back next year. So if you get the chance to go see it, definitely take the opportunity. It's a good long weekend. Saturday they did the practice runs and the qualifying, and then Sunday was supposed to be the race. I say supposed to be because the winds picked up, and the pylons and gates that they race around are a specially designed fabric that it's made to tear when the airplane touches it so that they don't damage the plane if they hit one of the gates.
So it's almost paper.
Yeah, it's a very thin fabric that's held together, you know, very
loosely,
fragilely. And it's air pressurized inside, so the slightest touch of the outside causes it to split.
That'd be cool just to, like, touch them.
Yeah, yeah. So on Sunday for the actual race, they got 11. There's three heats to it, elimination heats. They got 11 of the 12 people through on the first heat, and the winds had picked up to such a point that the crews couldn't keep the pylons inflated. They kept tearing just from the wind speeds.
Wow.
So they ended up canceling the race, which was a little disappointing, but it was still awesome to see.
I bet.
Yeah. So definitely a cool experience.
I know they used to do a race out of, I think it was San Diego. Back when I worked for the dealership, I knew or had befriended a Red Bull rep, and he actually gave me a Red Bull Air Races crew member
pass,
like ball cap. But he said, this is only for crew members, so if you don't want this anymore, like, you have to burn it. Like, don't just throw it away or don't donate it to Goodwill. Like, this is a very exclusive, you know, kind of item. But it wasn't a fitted hat, and I only wear fitted hats, so I accepted it graciously, but I never wore it, so.
Yeah, but yeah, it's still a cool souvenir.
They used to
do races
in San Diego, so if you're in the Southern California, San Diego area, take a look for their future schedule, and if they still come down there, you can get an opportunity to watch the races there. Or I'm sure Vegas will probably be more of a regular thing as well, as it's definitely a tourist location.
Absolutely. So,
yeah, no, it sounds like fun. That definitely be something I want to check out.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it. So after the race got canceled, that left us kind of with an afternoon free. So we checked out some of the local parks and reservation areas. We went hiking in the desert and had a great time.
How was the temperature out there this weekend?
It was kind of toasty. High 70s, low 80s.
Oh, that's nothing for Vegas.
No, it's not.
But for someone who's from Brad's neck of the woods.
Yeah, considering when we left home, it was raining and about 60.
Yeah.
You know, I have a little bit of sun on me.
I think it was warmer out here than it was in Vegas. I mean, we've had some pretty hot days, even hotter than normal for October, that's for sure.
Yep. When we drove out to the desert out in the national parks or the state parks, I think the thermometer in the car registered as high as 90, but still that's
not a whole lot. Vegas. Yeah.
So, one other thing that we did while we were there is we took a ride in the, High Roller, which is the world's largest observation wheel. It is not a Ferris wheel, according to them. Not quite sure what makes the difference, but, 550 feet to the top of the wheel.
You stop for like 5 minutes at the top.
No, it never stops.
It never stops.
Okay.
No, then maybe it never stops. The differentiation is that it never stops. So 500 feet, that's 10, 15 feet a story. So I don't know. That's a lot of stories.
It is a lot of stories. like I was able to set up my iPhone to take a time lapse. So I've got a time lapse from the top of the wheel down to the bottom.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Crazy.
That's really sweet.
Yep. So it's all up, it's about a half hour ride all the way around.
And you just go through one rotation?
Yep.
Nice.
Yep. So.
Well, with that, without further ado, should we jump into some movies?
Let's do it.
So, in the movies this week, yes, I do have my notes this time, so you guys are both stuck with all the synopses and budgetary data that you about otherwise time. Got a reprieve from last week.
All right, so wake me up when you're done.
And no, I won't touch base on last week's stuff. I was put into my place on that one. So, coming out this week, we have Fury. This is the Brad Pitt movie. This is set during World War II in April 1945. Where the Allies are trying to make a final push into Nazi Germany, a U.S. Army sergeant in the 2nd Armored Division named War Daddy. I'm assuming War Daddy is Tom... did I say Tom Cruise? I meant Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt movie. If I said Tom Cruise, I'm sorry, I meant Brad Pitt. If I said Brad Pitt, then you're welcome. they command the Sherman tank called Fury. It's a 5-man crew, and they're on a deadly mission behind enemy lines. Outnumbered and outgunned, War Daddy and the crew face overwhelming odds in heroic attempts to strike at the heart of Nazi Germany. This has a 70% critic rating and a budget of $68 million. So good luck to them. I mean, it looks well done. So if you're an old-time war buff or a fan of something like Saving Private Ryan or something, I'm sure you would enjoy this.
That's odd because I like World War II stuff, and I haven't even heard of this, so, well, I've got something to do for the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, we don't watch a lot of TV, so a lot of the trailers we don't necessarily see, but, no, it does look good from the bits that I've seen. Also coming out this week is Book of Life. Unfortunately, there is no critic rating on this as of yesterday, and the budget was not posted. Story of a young man played by Diego Luna, who is torn between fulfilling the expectations of his family and following his heart, in love with the beautiful Maria, played by Zoe Saldana, and in competition with Joaquin, who's voiced by Channing Tatum. The spirits La Muerte and Ixibalba bet on who will marry or who will win over Maria's heart. If you've seen the trailers, the bet gets kind of rigged. Our main character visits the spirit world and now has to overcome the odds of being dead and returning to the land of the living. Definitely a Day of the Dead feel about it, which is perfect for the month of October.
I thought that was released on October 31st.
Nope.
So when was that? Is that released or was it already?
This is coming out this week, called Book of Life.
Because I actually wanted to see that.
No, it does look good. Also coming out is a movie called Best of Me. This is, again, no rating, no budget. This is with James Marsden, and I'm not sure the female lead. This is for all you ladies out there. Dawson and Amanda met and fell in love in high school, the golden period in their lives. 20 years later, they meet by chance in the town they both left and renew their relationship. Unfortunately, Amanda is married to someone else and is a mother. So you're going to have that whole love triangle, sappy, but we were in love when we were kids type of situation.
Mess.
Yes. So for all you ladies, go out, see it. Let us know on Facebook what you thought. Additionally, we got two more here, so I'm trying to get through them. Birdman at a critic rating of 93%. So, promising. No budget was posted, but a washed-up actor, Regan, R-I-G-G-A-N, played by Michael Keaton, became famous for playing an iconic superhero in movies. He decides to stage a comeback in a Broadway play. Pressure mounts leading up to the play, or play's opening night, as Regan battles his ego and tries to win back his family at the same time as reestablishing his career and finding himself in the process. So, sounds like a lot of drama there, but seeing Michael Keaton get back into superhero costume could be kind of funny.
Is it a certain Dark Knight?
Well, that was the reference I was making. I don't believe his iconic superhero in this movie is supposed to resemble a certain Dark Knight.
Okay.
You know what? And I have to apologize. Last week I had planned to start using the content rating of PG and R and whatnot. I didn't do that this week, so I apologize.
Unprepared.
No, I just forgot to look it up. I forgot it was a factor. Finally coming out this week is a movie called Dear White People. This is 100% critic rating, no budget.
Oh, God.
This is a story of four African-American students at an Ivy League college where a riot breaks out over a popular African-American-themed party thrown by white students. So the ties of racial prejudice and or insensitivity, perhaps. So, unfortunately, that's as vague as the synopsis was. In the box office this week, we have Gone Girl pulled in $26.4 million atop of the hour. I don't know what I was going with that, but that's what I did. Dracula came in second at $23.5 million. Its rating has gone to 29%. It had a budget of $100 million, so definitely it's got a road to climb or a hill to climb to at least make up for its budget. Third in the box office is Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. It pulled in $18.4 million against its budget of $28
million. That's seriously the title of the movie.
Say that again?
I said that is seriously the title of the movie.
That is seriously the title of the movie.
Thank you, Disney.
Yeah, way to go, Disney. Finally in the box office is Annabelle. This is the horror movie with the puppet with like a $5 million or $6.5 million budget. It pulled in an additional $15.9 million. Honorable mentions.
Because they only have to pay the puppeteer.
It's actually not. It's just like a doll.
It's just a doll. And it looks like they just kind of threw it around in different places, too. Like, it's not actually animated or have motion itself. But you see the trailers where it just falls from behind the bed and lands looking over at the woman or whatever.
Well, she's looking underneath, like, the door crack because the thing close the door, and all of a sudden it's just she's looking under the door and crack, and it boom, it lands. But I'm thinking that's a pretty big space.
I thought it was like looking under a bed, like into another room.
No, the door closed, like the creature or whatever the heck it was.
The entity.
Closed the door, and she's looking underneath the door crack.
Yeah, it looked like a pretty big space.
And it was like, that's rather big, because if you looked underneath like a door...
Yeah, you can't really see under it. So.
Yeah.
How convenient.
It's a modified door for a film. It's fine.
Yeah.
Hollywood. Move on. It's great. Honorable mentions. I'm surprised by this. The Judge did not make it into our top four. It pulled in $13.1 million against its $50 million budget. I'm sure Robert Downey Jr. got most of that $50 million. Addicted came in with only $7.5 million. It only had a $5 million budget, so they're doing okay for them. And the last one was One Chance. It did so great that they didn't post it in the top 10. So there's that.
Speaking of RDJ, he's going to be in the next Captain America.
I heard this.
Where those two
are. Oh, I thought you were going to say Sherlock.
Huh. Are they doing another Sherlock?
I don't know. I was hopeful.
I like those movies. I thought it did really well on them.
Where apparently the synopsis for this one is that everyone with superpowers must register with the U.S. government.
Remember the movie The Watchmen?
Yes.
Okay, remember how the government passed a law where there was no more masks?
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like that. Only Tony Stark is heading the group that's going after other people for not registering their non-masked identities.
They're saying that they're supposed to register with the government.
Yeah.
And then act as authoritative police force.
Yeah. That's so
kind of weird because I thought like Tony Stark, RDJ's character, if you didn't know already, you should.
Spoiler.
Think would be more against it, and you think with Captain America, you know, he's Captain America being more government based, but I guess it's more he's working for freedom than.
Yeah, well, this is based on the, obviously with comic books, you have different renditions and different kind of series with the same characters in it.
Oh yeah.
So this is based on what they refer to as the Civil War,
yep,
section where they've kind of pegged them against each other. You have to remember too, though. Well, what's interesting about the focus here, and I know we're getting off topic on a movie that's like 5 years away or whatever, but everyone knows that who Captain America is. That's no secret. And obviously Iron Man, he came out in the first movie and says, well, I am Iron Man, so there's no secret there.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting in that regard. And yeah, your point of what it's the government. Why isn't Captain America on the side of the government? But you're probably right. It's probably more of a focus of freedom.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's that. But they still got to get
to another Avengers. So is this going to be Captain America the Summer Soldier?
The Spring Soldier.
The Spring Soldier.
And of course, there's always Avengers 3.
Yeah, well, they got to get through Avengers 2.
Age of Ultron.
Age of Ultron. And then they're talking about doing a Black Widow movie once Scarlet thins back out after the kid. And then you got clearly another Captain America movie in the works. Who knows what else they got going, so.
Let's just say RDJ is pretty much set for the next decade or two.
Well, he pulled in like $50 million on Avengers alone. He was like the highest paid actor in that.
Like I said, pretty decently well set for the next decade or three.
Yep, yep, fair enough. All right, well, let's jump into some news.
We're going to jump into news by jumping back into movies.
Oh,
holy crap.
Back to you. So, following on from what Wade was saying about our beloved Robert Downey Jr., another actor that is set for a while is Adam Sandler. I know, different kind of actor, but still, set pretty well. So, Netflix inked a deal, putting Sandler and his production company, good grief, Happy Madison, there you go, Happy Madison Productions, for four films direct to Netflix. This is following on from their deal with IMAX that we talked about a couple weeks ago for the next installment of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
That's right.
Yeah, so we did talk about that. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon will be released to select theaters in August of 2015. However, a lot of establishment owners have said, well, if Netflix is in on this, we don't want anything to do with it and are not interested in showing it.
That's interesting.
But, yeah, here Netflix is continuing to disrupt the entertainment industry by inking deals directly with talent and with production companies directly and looking to do direct-to-streaming videos. Or direct-to-streaming movies.
I think that's a bad play, though. I mean, if you're going to get into...
Do go on.
If you're going to get into investing in doing full-length feature films, or you're a primary budgetary or production group, why wouldn't you want it to release in theaters and make those millions of dollars in the box office? And then once you're done with the box office, you instantly throw it on Netflix with no time delay. I mean, clearly that's where a bulk of the money is. I mean, now you're banking on trying to get new subscribers now for $8 a month because your movies are releasing directly to the site versus, you know, the marketing or going into a theater. Maybe they save on the marketing, or maybe they do marketing to push the site more, but...
Well, I can see merit to both sides of this. Definitely they're going to cannibalize on the box office ticket sales, and that's not a good thing for traditional cinema plexes. Yeah. But there have been a string of movies that haven't done as well that may have been better suited to a direct-to... You know, the old... Several movies did it, direct-to-TV movies or direct-to-DVD movies.
Sure.
I mean, and this is just the newer version of that. Channels.
Yeah, you get some like the Hallmark channels, so they do their own movies, or Sci-Fi does their own movies that are exclusive to their channel, sure.
But and there's no doubt that Netflix has the money to throw around at it.
Yeah, well, if they're inking deals with people like Adam Sandler, who's a well-known, you know, celebrity in the movie industry... to be able to do movies, then why not throw them into the theaters and make a few million dollars on it in the first, you know, couple weeks?
Sure. I think the reservation from that, though, isn't on Netflix's part. Maybe. I believe the reservation for that is on the four major Cineplex groups.
Okay.
You know... hold on, I just had their names here. Yeah. Like so anyway, Regal,
Edwardson.
Like the actual cinema groups, like people like Regal, the Regal Edwards group,
and yeah,
the
AMC exactly. group,
and the few others.
Yeah. So they're the ones that are the holdouts on it. They don't want Netflix to succeed because it's a major shakeup of the way they do business, and they want to keep doing business the way they have been doing business.
But,
you know, obviously it's making them a ton of money.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, let the movie be in theaters and let people pay ticket prices and let people pay concessions, and maybe you do for where it's in theaters for only a month, and then you pull it out of theaters and you put it on the website. But
AMC, Cinemark, Regal, and Carmike.
Okay.
They're the ones that have said they will not show Crouching Tiger.
Because Netflix is involved.
Because Netflix is involved.
Oh, that's strange. I don't get the business mentality behind it. What do you care if they're going to put it on their website in a month? People will still come to the theater and pay theater money to watch it. Provide the content.
Well, I believe Netflix's big push is day and date release. So even if they did or when they do release it to theaters, there are going to be some that are going to show Crouching Tiger. The plan is to have day and day release to the website as well.
Yeah, simultaneous.
Yes, and I think that's the pause point for the big four, is they don't want to put movies on their screen that are day and date release to streaming. I don't know the economics of the behind the scenes, but I've got to imagine that there's some cost on the theater's part. to put these movies on. Well, and if they're paying to buy, you know, whatever license or media that they need to display the movie, they want to make sure they're going to get their money back.
That's true. I mean, I guess I would be curious to understand the business aspect for the theaters. Obviously, you have the open theaters. You just put the file into the projector that's, you know, all computerized now anyway. And, you know, you hit play. So from the method of showing the movie is no different than anything else. It's the business aspect of it. Which is why I say, if you can't sit down and have a negotiation and say, hey, let us play the movie for a month in the theaters and, you know, hold off on the website for a month, then, like, that seems like a suitable, you know, terms of agreement, but...
It's also the thing of, like, location, location, location. You know, are we going to show something that people would rather just hold off and watch a month at home for, or we can show a more tour de force movie on the same screen and probably pull up more people?
Yeah. Well, and that's a good point. That's a very good point. I mean, if I had the option, and this is not one that is covered by this, I'm throwing this out as a hypothetical. If Star Wars 7 was being produced by Netflix, and it was going to be day and date release to theaters and to streaming, I want to see that on a big screen.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that it's included in my monthly package, that's awesome. I'll watch reruns of it. I'm sure I'm going to watch it more than once. But I'm going to want that epic experience on a massive screen.
Yeah, but if it's kind of a quote-unquote low-budget comedy or something like that where...
Like, you're not, I don't know, Adam Sandler.
Yeah, exactly. And then not knocking Adam Sandler, but that's just his style of movies.
Absolutely. You know, and there's a place for that.
Yeah, you're not going to experience the wow factor on a big screen with that. So yeah, you might as well just play it on your TV at home.
Exactly. I mean, you look at some of the work he's done, you know, the more touchy-feely stuff, like 50 First Dates. I don't care if that's on a big screen or a little screen. It's the same movie. I might as well watch that on the small screen. Whereas the epics, you know, the Star Wars, the Star Treks, the Mission Impossibles, those kind of things, I want to see that on a big screen.
Yeah. The fun thing, though, is that you could probably just, like, watch a movie in the theater and go, oh, wait, did that really happen? And come home, rewatch it on Netflix, and you can go to that particular part and go, oh, okay.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. Okay.
So, exciting future.
Wait, well, why don't you take it?
Continuing on from something that, well, was exciting to something that really wasn't exciting, Blizzard has released their patch 6.0 for World of Warcraft. Wow. Jeez, I'm not even drinking today.
And yes, that's what it's called. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Perfect.
Wow.
And apparently isn't going over that well. This patch is just before the expansion. There is no other content that will be released between this patch and the expansion. People are not all too impressed with this. It's basically a meager quest line, and at the end you get a pet and a title.
But it's a patch. What are people expecting? This isn't supposed to be a major update.
Well, goes back to their previous event patches, where back in before Wrath of the Lich King was released, they had Scourge attacking major cities. The Cataclysm one, they had elementals in major cities. They're not living up to the standards they have put for themselves for the events leading up to the expansions.
I mean, to me, it sounds like they're just trying to give the players something a little bit updated, maybe something a little bit to do, and maybe bring some people back into the game who are waiting, and then dump Warlords of Draenor on them and say, okay, we got you back in. Now here's the update. Or here's the, what do they call it?
Expansion.
Thank you. So please drop another $40 on the expansion. And now that we've got you interested again, give us your money.
And unfortunately for that thought, this quest line took me about 15 minutes. I'm going to say was not that good. If you were someone who was coming back into WoW and that was what you experienced, I would almost say that you would be like, this is the standard they're setting. Or I'm not going to be dropping my money on this.
But wasn't the focus of the patch quality of graphics too, though?
It was an upgrade of the graphics, yes. And
how was that?
Pretty good, actually. I mean, most of the models, this is all the models from before the Burning Crusade, their first expansion back, has all been high-res textured up. But that's only the NPCs and character models, not like the creatures, mobs that are wandering around the numerous zones.
Okay.
So, I've got to say, it sounds to me like, first of all, they've shot themselves in the foot. And secondly, somewhat of an unrealistic expectation from the community. When I hear the word patch, I think of a bug fix. I'm not looking for a patch to add features. I'm looking for a patch to fix problems that I've had. And yeah, especially if they're releasing this patch prior to a major update or a major expansion. Again, I'm not looking for a whole bunch of new features. I'm looking for stuff to work better.
Yeah, well, this is definitely where they've shot themselves in the foot, where they've released these grand events just before expansions, and then they have this.
So, from what I'm understanding from what Wade's saying, is that in previous expansions, when they released a patch prior to a major expansion, it was a substantial patch. There was something to do to keep you entertained for more than half an hour.
Yeah.
And in this one, precursing Warlords of Draenor.
Yes.
They modernized the game a little bit, gave you a little bit to do, probably fixed some issues, you know, here and there as a patch would, and that's it. So in the past, they've set a precedence, and now they're not following through with it.
Exactly. It just felt like they kind of, all right, get this out the door, and voila. It's not something I would see anyone renewing their subscription for in, was it preparation for Warlords of Draenor? When, if this is the standard they're setting for the expansion, it doesn't look that good.
Okay, but the expansion is going to add a whole bunch of new content that paying for.
There's just several new zones and a whole bunch of other stuff, but you know, if I tossed someone in, I don't think they would stay in because of that.
If they've played all the way through Pandaria, stopped, and thought this patch was going to renew their...
Yeah, their give it a test run, and they go, if this what this is, I'm not putting $40 down.
Fair enough.
All right.
Well, everyone knows that we're a big fan of Tesla, some of us more than others, Brad. Well, unfortunately, the stock market was not very impressed with Elon Musk's Model D announcement. He unveiled the high-performance all-wheel drive version of the current Model S sedan with limited autopilot function. This was unveiled in L.A. Thursday night. The product launch, there you go, Brad, you'll like this one, reached near Apple levels of anticipation.
Woohoo!
Again, last week, after some cryptic tweets promising, this is by Elon Musk, by the way, unveil the D and something else. Wall Street suspected the D may be a driverless car or a whole new model altogether. Given that with Tesla, a lot of people like to guzzle down the Kool-Aid, and hopefully send the stock soaring after the announcement. Unfortunately,
I was expecting my name to be brought up again there.
Some things don't need to be said.
Shut up and move on.
But unfortunately, with the announcement, the stock fell 7.5% on Friday to $237.70 a share. And upon checking on it again today, the stock was down further to $229.70 a share. But that price was up 2.4% from Wednesday morning, from my understanding. One analyst came out and said the hit to the stock comes as a healthy correction following all the hype that we've obviously been covering in previous weeks. Musk followed some of the negativity being said by the announcement with the following. People are not ready for a driverless car. It's too much of a shift to the general population's mind at this point. And especially from a small car maker like Tesla, they don't have a huge market share. And to make such a drastic change to the way we see cars would essentially kill them. I did read in another article that Tesla is maybe about a year away from a fully automated driving vehicle, driverless car. But to touch base on the limited autopilot functions that were announced, these are some of the functions we see in other cars now. Blind spot monitors, lane monitors, make sure you're in the lane, the brake assist functionality, the reverse brake assist, all the things that we're seeing in Mercedes and Audi and that kind of stuff. Tesla is just mirroring that and making sure that they're sticking up with the times. They're not leapfrogging anything at this point. And from the sound of it, per Elon Musk and the Tesla group, that's kind of their plan. They feel that the community is not ready for another major shift yet.
So, a few points. I'm sure that shocks you.
I'm dumbfounded.
I thought you might be.
Yeah.
You could have left the founded part off.
Jerk.
So, first of all, I'm inclined to agree with the analyst that this is a much-needed correction. The stock was driven higher on speculation of what might be announced, and then they were disappointed that they didn't speculate right?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, guys, really?
Pretty much.
Nothing was announced, you drove it up, and now you're pissed off with them that they didn't live up to your dreams.
Let's hammer them for our mistakes.
Well, the problem, I think, too, is, you know, the stock market is supposed to be there to assess the value of a company.
Yeah.
On a long enough time frame, it does that. It shows that it started at X, it ended at Y, or it's at Y at that present date. But the problem is, it'd be playing the stock market, I say playing in air quotes, has become such a business that you get these fluctuations based on hopes and dreams. You know, so from the
unrealistic at times.
Say that again?
Unrealistic hopes and dreams at times.
But say, if you were, say, a day trader and you had the money that you would be buying Tesla stock, and you would maybe think that, okay, Thursday morning, I'm going to buy some Tesla stock. They're going to make a big announcement Thursday night. Friday, the stock's going to soar and I'm going to sell my stock Friday night. But because of the way this worked out, because the stock was driven up so aggressively early on that the announcement brought it back down to a more realistic level, that was the opposite. So
agreed.
And I think it's just a problem or a result of, you know, market trading or stock trading.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Agreed. So. Now, as far as the driverless car goes, I don't know about Tesla specifically, but at least the big manufacturers can already do it.
Yep.
We're not ready for it. And like we've discussed before, I'm not even sure it's a good idea.
Well,
you know, there's a lot of things that need to be worked out before it becomes, you know, viable.
It's a fun topic to discuss because there's a lot of different points that maybe most people don't necessarily think about when they talk about a driverless car.
Sure.
In some aspects, just like riding the train or taking a shuttle or something like that, it could be very beneficial. The technology to make it happen, we were pretty close with what we've seen. I remember seeing a Mercedes ad from years ago that they had a computerized system that monitored the distance between the car in front of it, and you had four cars that were going at 80 miles an hour traveling at a foot apart from each other. And because they were checking the distance at such a small, increments of change at such a quick repetition, that they were able to maintain that control from a front-to-back factor. Now, when you get into changing lanes, you get into roadways that have driverless cars and people driving, you're going to have conflicts, but that's a different conversation altogether. I agree we're not ready, period.
I actually kind of foresee this as a switch into more economic car as well. Because people, once they stop driving, air quotes, cars, they're not going to be worried about handling, how the car feels.
Well, you're going to be more focused on the smoothness of ride,
yep,
and not the aggressive aspects of the car.
You're not going to have that, I want that power to feel in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
So you could see more eco-friendly cars coming into play because no one's caring for that.
Yeah, if you're going to have a driverless car, you're not going to want a Ferrari driverless car. You're going to want something that's more luxurious like a Bentley from a creature comfort standpoint,
mm-hmm,
but something more economical to drive like a Prius or like a Tesla that's fully electric.
So I see this is also a step into more eco-friendly cars because people will no longer have that wanting to feel that power in their hands.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be, you want that more smoother ride in which, I think they can focus on that with just having a more eco-friendly engine and whatnot.
So my one last point is to the intermediate period. They've announced a few more, air quotes, safety features.
Yes.
That, to bring them in line with some of the other manufacturers. And I had the opportunity to rent and drive a vehicle several weeks ago. It was a, let's just say a large SUV. I don't remember the exact model, but somewhere along the lines of a Suburban.
Okay.
But maxed out, which is unusual for a rental car. But it had, heated seats and air-conditioned seats and, all the bells and whistles. And as part of that, it had all the safety features. It had the backup camera. It had the proximity alerts. It had the lane departure sensors. It had the, all these things. And the lane departure and the change lane sensors, to make sure that there wasn't a car next to you when you changed.
Blind spot monitor, yeah.
Yep, all of that. And it all tied into the driver's seat, and you got haptic feedback. So there were two vibrator motors, one under each leg. And if I started to wander too close to the left-hand lane marker, the left leg would, give me a quick buzz and lights would light up. And, for all these safety features, I actually felt less safe in it.
Now,
there was so much going on and I was getting so much information that it was distracting.
I can see that.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
During the normal course of driving, you tend to stray within your lane.
Mm-hmm.
You're not in a perfect. So, I'd start to stray a little bit to the left, and my normal driving style would have seen this and picked up on it and corrected, and I'm never going over the lane. But the computer senses that I'm getting close to the lane, to the lane marker, and the left lane indicator shows up on the dash and my left leg starts vibrating and I get chimes and it's like, holy crap, what's going on? Oh, I just strayed a little too far in my lane. That was it.
Now, as a quick question before we wrap this up, with all those sensors and those indicators, vibrating feedbacks and caution lights, if you were to initiate the turn signal and then approach that lane, I would imagine the turn signal would cancel out the swerving or veering sensors?
Yes, it does.
That'd be annoying. You hit the blinker on and you go to change lanes and your left leg vibrates when you're changing lanes. It's like, yes, I know. I want to do this.
Yes, I know I'm crossing the lane. Shut up.
I can see that being very distracting with the lane thing is that it's got to, the vibration has got to be enough to, because people would drift off.
Yep.
You know, because it may say, like, is this person drifting off? Is,
yeah, I got to give at the wheel? Yeah.
A decent enough vibration to you. So, yeah, I can definitely see this distracting.
So, yeah, it introduces additional distractions, and, you know, the other danger is becoming complacent with it and not paying attention when you're driving. You know, there have been cases of this with the backup cameras that are now becoming mandatory because, you know, oh my goodness, it's too much hassle to check around you.
Yeah, heaven forbid I actually turn my head and look back. Let's just look at the dash.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I can see some value to it because, you know, small kids in a SUV blind spot behind you. Okay, yes, it's an added value, but people become too dependent on it and start relying solely on the safety features rather than driving.
I agree.
So.
Well, that was a tangent, so let's move on.
That was a little bit of a tangent. So let's move on. Unfortunately, though, we're moving on to another big story. And this is news from Google, your friends, not mine, mm-hmm. yours.
That's right, Android, baby.
Major announcement from Google this week, actually several major announcements. So we're going to try and cover them as well, but as briefly as possible. So first of all, Android 5.0 has been released. Sorry, not released, has been announced. 5.0, which up until now has been known simply as Android L, they are continuing their tradition of marching through the alphabet naming candies. So the last version was Kit Kat. This version is going to be Lollipop.
Yay!
Android 5.0 Lollipop. They're promising increased battery life, multiple user account security features, more control over notifications.
The user accounts thing is kind of interesting.
Yes.
I mean, I can kind of see the point. Like, if I want to set up a profile for my daughter and she can access just certain games, maybe I have some stuff on the phone I don't want her to see, you know? That.
Agreed.
Now, if I go into a lock screen, she can select her name, an unlock, you know, pattern or whatever, and that just gives her access to, you know, the apps that we've set aside for her.
And this is also,
yeah, no, I can see that being very useful.
Yeah.
This is also coming on the heels with the horror stories of kids racking up the phone bills of $4,000 for in-app purchases of games where you can put that kind of limiter on that particular profile.
Yep. No, true.
Yep.
Awesome.
No, it's a very awesome thing. Kudos to Google for that. So, again, we get to that standard Android discussion of who gets the new update, and no idea. Check with your manufacturer and your carrier. Unfortunately, this is one of the downsides of Android, is the spotty uptake. So far, according to Google's data, only 24% of Android devices have even updated to KitKat.
I don't even know if I have KitKat.
Wow.
Yeah. Because of the fragmentation from the different manufacturers and what the carriers are going to do and allow.
We talked about this before, Wade, in that Google creates Android and the options. But because so many different phone manufacturers, like Samsung, run Android, now Samsung has to take a look at the OS and say, do we want to implement this to our devices? They do what they do. They say, yeah, this is what we want to do. Okay, great. Then AT&T comes in and says, well, you know what? That's all fine and good that you say it's compatible with your device, but we're not so sure we want to put it on our network. So now you may have Google that says, hey, KitKat is out, and AT&T may say that, sorry, we're not even on, sorry, Google says Lollipop is out, but AT&T says, yeah, we're not even giving people KitKat yet. So you've got this different subgrades going on, and it's causing, like Brad said, a fragmentation.
Fragmentation, yep. So, not wanting to drag that out too much here, let's move on to new devices. The Nexus 6.
Okay.
Codenamed Shamu.
Interesting.
Yep, is the latest Nexus branded smartphone. It is a 6-inch quad high def screen.
Quad high def. What the heck does that mean? I don't know what high def means, but what's the quad factor? Quad core?
Yeah. Well, no. The description places the quad firmly in the screen section.
That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
We have the technology to put 4K on our phones, TV resolution-wise, yet.
Well, 4K maybe not yet, but getting close. We'll come back to that one. Hold that thought. It does have a quad-core processor in it, though. 2.7 gigahertz quad-core processor with a 13-megapixel camera and image stabilization. So that hopefully will make for some nice charges. Some nice photos. On the charging front, an interesting feature that it adds is a feature called fast charging, where a 15-minute plug-in will provide you 6 hours of runtime.
Wow.
Now, I don't think that is a linear charge. You know, the last whatever number of hours of the battery will probably take a lot longer to charge. So a total charge will probably still be the same 3 hours. But it's nice that they're adding that rapid charge to at least get you up and running again quickly for a portion of the battery.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's cool.
Yep. So
and obviously that 6 hours is going to depend on your usage too. If you're jumping onto stuff that's, you know, data heavy, you're not going to get 6 hours of life out of it.
No, but, you know, with a 15-minute charge, I mean, I could see that being extremely helpful. You know, you're getting towards middle of the afternoon and your phone is almost dead. You could throw your phone on a 15-minute charge and go grab a drink and come back and you've got another 6 hours worth of battery life.
Yep.
You know, so very helpful. Also, the Nexus 9 is going to be made by HTC. It's their replacement for the 7-inch Nexus 7. As the name suggests, it will be a almost 9-inch replacement. It's okay. An 8.9-inch.
Now, are the Nexus phones or the Nexus tablets?
Or both? So, that depends. The Nexus 6 is going to be a phone. The Nexus 9 is a tablet.
Gotcha.
And it's going to be almost square.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's going back to the 4:3 old-fashioned screen ratio rather than the 16:9 widescreen that they have been using.
That is strange.
So, and to come back to Wade's point, with the image resolution, it is higher than 2K. Not quite 4K, but it's higher than a 2K resolution on this tablet.
So we're getting there.
We're definitely getting there. And the last thing announced is going to be a Google TV Mark III. It's going to be called the Nexus Player. It is the reincarnation of their smart TV device. So think Roku, think Apple TV, think Chromecast kind of thing.
Gotcha.
Set-top box for media streaming. It's going to be $99 for the set-top box, and for an extra $40, you will be able to buy a gamepad. So probably hinting at future capabilities running games directly on the TV.
Or doing like maybe the Nintendo Wii deal where you can either play something on the TV or it can stream to the tab and you can do something else.
Maybe absolutely
the split screen type functionality. Or not split screen, total, but two device.
Total details remain to be seen on that, but definitely a interesting future.
Gotcha. Cool.
So big news from Android.
That's awesome. Well, we had a lot
more. I would like to point out that we're coming to the end here and I have not done an Apple story. Just
you know what? And I had one lined up, but given the intro into the show today, we've got a few topics that we just won't hit on this week. That makes Wade happy. He's a little sick of hearing about Apple stuff.
So, there's a challenge.
You are entering the Apple free zone.
Yeah, there's a challenge for next yeah. episode.
I guess next episode is going to be heavy apple to make up for it.
Actually, probably because tomorrow is going to be their next conference. So Thursday, the 16th, Apple will be having an announcement conference. They're expected to announce the new iPads and possibly new Macs. So,
well, they kind of leaked photos on the iPad today. I saw a few articles with images on specs and criteria for the iPad. So don't know if that was kind of a oops, but not really an oops, or a true oops.
So, yeah, expect Apple heavy next week.
Alrighty. Well, thanks, guys, for listening. We appreciate it. Wade, do you have anything to touch base on in the end here?
No. Nope. Not really much.
Do us a favor, fans. Let us know what you think about this episode, and we look forward to your feedback. And until next time, have a good one.
Keep on gaming.
That's a wrap.